With the arrival of this new COVID strain, the continuing violence in our streets, and the tornado that went through Kentucky and other states, which that tornado, by the way, if you didn't see the news, set a new record for the longest distance on the ground of over 200 miles. This all paints a pretty depressing and sad picture of humanity. But I don't want to focus on the sadness of this world. Today I want to focus on something that is uplifting and encouraging. The words of encouragement that are found in a hymn that we often sing. It's also a hymn that possibly hundreds of thousands or maybe even millions of people know. It is also a passage of scripture, like many others, we know well, that we read often but don't often give a lot of in-depth thought to. So let's turn to this passage of scripture in Psalms 23, the Lord's prayer. Not the Lord's prayer. Excuse my voice, it's fading. The purpose of this sermon is to go through this psalm and perhaps get a better appreciation or a deeper appreciation of the love that God has towards us and which he reveals to us in the verses of Psalm 23. It is a beautiful passage of scripture that is in many ways also very prophetic. Dr. Ost has mentioned quite a few times over the last couple of years how God's word can tell us much more if we would only meditate on it. And so with this in mind, I would like to also offer this psalm as an example of that. This psalm begins in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." David, the author of this song, refers to God as a shepherd guarding his flock. In those days, the kings of that period were often also referred to by the people as shepherds. So we know that God is the king of all shepherds, if you like. In the physical world, a flock of sheep are usually at risk from predators and can be quite vulnerable. But with the shepherd along, keeping watch, they become much stronger. He is their early warning system. He also guides them to greener pastures and brings them safely home. With God and Jesus Christ as our spiritual shepherds, they protect us from the greatest predator of all, that is Satan the devil. For without them we are extremely vulnerable to falling back into this world's ways. So David acknowledges that God was his protector and provider, the one he looked to for all his needs. And this is something even Christ, the creator of all things, recognized when he came here as a human. We see this in John 5, verse 30, where he states to his disciples, "I can of myself do nothing." David realized, as we must do, that we are weak, corruptible, mortal human beings. We have to depend entirely on God for all our being. And as this world marches on closer and closer to destruction, this realization will become more and more important to us. The song continues, "I shall not want." The want here means lack. David was totally confident that he would lack nothing to support his body and life. He knew that God would provide all his needs. David also echoed this sentiment in Psalm 34, verse 9, which, no need to turn there, which says, "O fear the Lord, you his saints, there is no want to those who fear him." In verse 10, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." So David clearly shows us that if we seek God in all aspects of our lives, we will lack for nothing to sustain our physical existence. Christ himself reinforced this to us in Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, God's word shows us that by following and obeying the one true shepherd, how he will provide for us. From verse 25 of Matthew 6 right through to verse 30, Christ tells us not to worry about things and how God feeds the sparrows, and how God covers the fields with the lilies. Basically, Christ is explaining how God takes care of his creation, which of course includes us. So let's start in verse 28, then we read from verse 31 to 34. Matthew 6, verse 28, and then 31 to 34. In verse 28, the first part says, "And why take you thought for raiment? Why are we concerned with worldly ideas such as what is fashionable or keeping up with the Joneses, when we should be grateful and happy with what God has provided us?" In verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all, these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So David clearly understood that if we follow God's way of life, he will provide all that we need and we would lack for nothing. Notice, though, that he provides what we need. That's the emphasis, not what we desire. So back to Psalm 23, verse 2. It says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." According to the New King James Version, "he makes me to lie down" is a Hebrew form implying casuality, which refers to a refreshment, which means to relax or to be at peace. In verse 3, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Restoring my soul simply is a restoration of strength and vitality. Whenever our spirits are low, we can go to him and he will lift us up, strengthen us through his spirit that is within us, so that we can be more focused on becoming a better Christian and have a better understanding of him and his laws and how he wants us to live, which will help us to achieve a better righteousness. Verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There are going to be times in the future when we may have to walk through that valley. But we are reminded that as long as we are with God, to fear no evil, for God is with us always, and he will continue to comfort and support us no matter what the world throws at us. In verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Here God reminds us that not only is he our shepherd, but also our friend. He is preparing a table or banquet for us. And in Jewish society, oil was not only used for anointing the sick, but also used for rejoicing and welcoming guests. Once again, God is showing that he will bless and support us even in the presence of our enemies, for he has anointed us by calling us out of this world in these end times, and for that, our cup should be overflowing with joy. Finally, in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If we do all these things and rely on him and his loving kindness and mercy, he shall be with us all the days of our lives. When our time comes, we will dwell with him forever. The latter part of this verse is backed up by 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, which says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." So in summary, I hope I've been able to show today that Psalm 23 is more than just a great hymn, because it has so much more to say. It is about, in essence, our relationship with God. It teaches us not to worry about clothes or food and drink, but to rely on God for all those things. For he knows what our needs are long before we do. And what they... exactly that. It teaches us that we can keep on obeying him and working on our righteousness. Then his loving kindness and mercy will be with us always. It tells us, be grateful and joyful for all the blessings we have now, and that he will continue to bless and support us even in the presence of our enemies. And finally, it tells us where we will go when the chief shepherd who gave his life for his flock returns. Many churches sing this psalm without ever realizing or understanding what it is truly saying. We are fortunate to be able to understand the deeper meaning of it. The psalm is a hymn of hope for all mankind, for a better life and future, which is sadly missing out right now. I hope I've been able to demonstrate that, and even the most well-known script, and that the, even the most well-known scriptures still have much to say and to think about. So let us finish on a positive note with one last scripture. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. John 10, verses 27 and 28. Talking about his flock, Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. In verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So let us continue to be his sheep, listen to his voice, and follow him into eternal life.